Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the prophet Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, when one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of kingdoms out of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses by their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we'll remember our outline. We said that there were four discourses, four separate prophecies. The first one is in chapter 1, and this last chapter, chapter 2, has three particular discourses or prophecies in it. So we take them then one by one. The first prophecy is down through verse 9. Okay, so notice now there is this statement of comfort and acceptance. comfort and acceptance in this first prophetic discourse. Yet now be strong. That's kind of the moniker over the whole thing. Yet now be strong. Build this temple. Build this house. My spirit that was with you when I came out of Egypt remains with you today. I haven't taken it from you. I haven't taken my spirit from you. So build. Notice what it says. And I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. And here's what I'm going to do for that house. And now Haggai lifts his prophetic eyes from the house that's being built in that day to the house that Messiah will build. And he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shake all the nations. Now, this would have been a good metaphor for them. They would have understood what was being said. How did they harvest their olive trees? They grabbed a branch and shook it until all the olives fell off on the ground. Then they went and picked them up. Then they grabbed another branch and they shook it until all the olives fell off and they picked them up, and so on until that was all done. And then if there were any gleaning olives left, they left those. Because if they didn't fall off when they shook them, they weren't ready, they weren't ripe anyway. And so they left them for the poor to come and get. Interestingly, notice it says, I'm going to shake all the nations, and the desire of nations shall come. I think that many have misinterpreted that to mean that Jesus himself is the desire of nations. That's actually ensconced in one of the, quote, Christmas carols that are sung. The desire of nations pointing to Christ. I don't think that's what's being said at all. I think it's that which God has desired out of all the nations. In other words, the forces of the Gentiles during the days of Messiah are going to come flooding into the church. This is seen just before the days of Messiah, right, when the synagogues are spread throughout the land, and there are people from many different kindreds and tribes across the world worshiping the true God. Then at the day of Pentecost, what do we see? We see that they're from all over the world, and they're there, and they're worshiping the Lord, and many of them come to faith in Christ. And then from there to Samaria, to Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world, and the Lord even to today is shaking the olive tree, right? And the desire of nations is coming into the church. So Haggai here lifts up his prophetic eyes. He's no longer looking simply at the building that's being built there, but he is looking at that greater glory, because notice the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, the greater glory is that greater spiritual glory in the house that Jesus Christ himself builds. Then in verses 10 through 19, we're going to learn that it is not due to the people. This is God's glory. This is God's building. This is something that God will do. And here's how that's put to the people. So call the priests and ask them a question about holiness, about cleansing, about purity. If a priest is bearing holy somethings in the garment of his skirt, and if he touches something unclean, is that unclean thing made holy by touching the priest who is holy and his holy stuff? No, it's not. Okay? And then he asks the second question of the priest. If the priest has something, if something is holy, comes into contact with something that is unclean, does it remain holy or does it become unclean? It becomes unclean. And then the Lord gives the interpretation of those object lesson questions by saying, so is this people before me. Don't think you're going to be holy simply because you're building a holy temple and you are in contact with it. You can defile that temple as soon as you come into it if you yourselves remain unclean before me. So it's not the temple that sanctifies the people. And that's the point that's being made here. Don't set your eyes on this temple. And the prophets will say that, won't they? The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple. Don't encourage yourself with those words, right? Jesus will say, rather he that believes in the word of God, right? So anyway, what's being said here is that just because you're building a holy temple in your midst doesn't make you a holy people. So now I pray you consider from this day upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were. And so from verse 15 through 19, this section is concludes with the Lord saying to his people, okay, here we are now, 2 months later. Have you received your crops yet? Okay, so now I want you to mark this day. Mark this day, because now you have begun believing in me, hearing me, building the temple, laying the foundation, and so from this day I will bless you. So mark this day, and you will note that blessing comes after this day because you've learned to obey my voice. And so one thing the Lord does is the Lord often, when we are sinning, he discourages us through temporal judgments. And then sometimes, when there is obedience or reformation among the people, he encourages them through temporal blessing. And that's what's going on here. And then we have one more vision, verse 20 through the end. So speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. Anybody besides me interested in understanding why only Zerubbabel is mentioned and not Joshua? Isn't that interesting? We're no longer talking to Zerubbabel and Joshua. It's Zerubbabel that will be made the signet. And again, we're going to run back to the doctrine of the establishment of religion, because as kings become the signet of the Lord our God, this is how that kingdom is expanded throughout the world, in that plan and purpose of God, as those kings of the earth learn to kiss the sun. And so kings shall be thy nursing fathers, queens thy nursing mothers, and so on in Isaiah chapter 49, because the establishment principle is taught in the scripture. This is one of the ways that God has chosen to expand the kingdom of Christ throughout the world, by giving her place in the kingdoms of this world, that the kingdoms of this world might entertain, might understand, might recognize that happy is that nation whose God is the Lord. Thus ends the reading then of Haggai chapter 2.